Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help, you save.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gilcast. We are recording this on a Monday morning. Sammy, I believe, was coming back from his 19th wedding of the summer and got caught in combination Thanksgiving California traffic. Really something that nightmares are made of. So Monday morning, I'm Davis Maddock. I'm joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling on a dreary, for some, Sunday morning. Not dreary for all of us, though, Sammy.
No, things are good here. I have to apologize to the people. You know, I know you East Coasters wanted this on your commute. I blew it for you. Like, much apologies. It was a tough scene for me.
How many more weddings do you have left this season, Sammy?
I mean, that's it. This was the last one. It wasn't actually a wedding. It was just Thanksgiving stuff. Davis is being tongue-in-cheek, but
I mean, it was a lot more funny the way I said it, though.
Yeah, way to blow it, Nate. Way to blow it. This is like your lineups yesterday. This is just,
you know. Sammy wastes no time getting right into it. Thanks, buddy.
So people know.
I lost money last week.
Yeah. and actually it's sort of a good thing that we've had like 24 hours to sit and marinate on the slate, because I've got some just hot fire material ready for Nate Noling when we get to discussing a few different parts of our lineup. So starting out at quarterback, did all three of us play Lamar? Did we have universal agreement on Lamar there?
No, yeah. I had Mahomes.
I wanted you to play Jameis so bad and get the zero touchdown game.
This is bad. This is bad for the brand.
Yeah, this is very uncomfortable. So why did you play Mahomes over Lamar? Not even that I think it was bad. I looked at it, but it would have resulted in me playing Sammy Watkins, which I'm very glad that I did not do.
I had him relatively close overall, and I think I just – Mahomes has been running more. He's like fully healthy. I just gave the bump to, I mean, it wasn't like Mahomes over Jackson was like a 2-point difference. It was like a half a point, but that's just how I ended with construction standpoint. So.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that, you know, that's fair. So why Sammy, were you not afraid for it? Cause this was the lowest owned Lamar has been that I've ever played him. He was in the massive $50 double up. He was 23% owned. So that I pretty much every other time we've played Lamar, he's been over 50%. So why don't you explain to the people why we were not afraid of the San Francisco 49ers defense?
I think it's because against Lamar Jackson, talent is somewhat irrelevant, like the talent of the defense, because A, he's going to be more talented than them straight up, but B, it really comes down to like scheme, and no scheme has been able to stop Lamar yet. You know, it's like you can be as fast or as good as you. It's like when people play Madden and they play with like the best team on Madden, but your scheme is just so good it doesn't matter, and you whoop fools with like the Oakland Raiders or whatever. That's kind of what Lamar Jackson is like right now. And he was getting a severe discount. He was down to $7,000, which is like $600 less than he's been on average the last couple of weeks. And it was like, wow, we're getting literally the best fantasy player outside of Christian McCaffrey at a severe discount, literally because of the matchup, which I don't think matters. And he was just a lock button for me from the very beginning.
Well, actually, he's been better. He has no player has scored more fantasy points than Lamar Jackson. If you're including the way the DraftKings works with the bonuses, Lamar's been number one.
So I thought there were four quarterbacks in play. I thought it was Mahomes, Jackson, Goff, and Wentz. Why didn't you guys pay down? I was looking at that. I mean,
because Carson
a construction thing.
So like this is the no, it wasn't a construction thing. The lineups with Wentz were actually way better because he got you to Devontae Adams instead of two 5K wide receivers. But the DailyRoto.com optimizer actually it doesn't have a cuck button to push for quarterbacks. So it actually doesn't know that Carson Wentz is one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL. So while Drew Dinkmeyer and my buddies played, they just play the optimal and it scored 220 points. I was not able to get there because I've actually watched Carson Wentz play football and I was incapable. Like,
yeah.
And also
Wentz smashed.
Yeah. I mean,
so did Goff.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. No.
I'm just figuring this out. Like, I was traveling all day yesterday. I almost have no idea what happened.
Yeah. Wentz had a huge game. Could have actually had even a bigger game. Honestly, they were inefficient in the red zone a couple of times. But I've watched Carson Wentz play, and I think Wentz's range of outcomes is like even bigger than someone like Goff, or even bigger than someone like Jameis. So I was not interested in playing him.
Yeah.
He just has such a high failure rate. Like, his range of outcomes is ridiculous because he's terrible. And he can have one of those games where he just, like, keeps getting sack fumbled. And I wasn't interested in it. Like, again, in cash games, like, we want a high floor. And there is no player that has a floor like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he's never, ever, ever getting less than 20 in this game. Like, especially because, you know, he's playing the fourth quarter, which I viewed that as a big plus. And Lamar, there was a stretch in the fourth quarter where each team went four and out twice. So the 49ers went four and out twice. There was about a 9-minute stretch where no team was scoring, like neither team was scoring any fantasy points. And if either of those teams had broken through and the other team was forced to try harder and like, you know, throw the ball instead of like running all these like Gus Edwards up the middle plays or Matt Breida plays, like this game could have gone like a much different way and Lamar could have got, you know, his usual 35 points.
Yeah. I thought Goff was in play in cash games. I don't think I was ever going to get to Wentz, but Goff in this game where there was going to be so much plays in this Arizona defense, I think Goff was – I'm bummed I didn't look at more builds with Goff. I mean,
Goff. Well, I mean, I really loaded up on Goff in tournaments, but I'm not playing Jared Goff in cash. He could be playing the Penn State Nittany Lions, and I don't think I'd play him in cash. I was closer to playing the Cardinals defense in cash than I was to playing – Goff and cash.
I did play the Cardinals defense in cash, so
yeah, that lineup construction was fine. I think Cardi was actually the one that talked me out of it, out of the Cardinals defense Cardinals thing. So that was quarterback. I don't think Mahomes was bad. Like it was fine, whatever. And obviously he ran bad with the Raiders being completely unable to score any fantasy points at all. So moving on to running back, we all played different plays. So we all played CMC, and I think that was it. I think that was the only guy that we all three had. And of course, we got CMC's floor game. This was his second worst game of the year. Kyle Allen, man, like let's just be done with it. Let's just be done with Kyle Allen as an NFL quarterback. I would be very happy if I never had to watch this guy play again.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Yeah, I can't believe I actually like thought that Carolina would win this game and put points on them in my confidence pool. I have no confidence in them.
Yeah. Kyle Allen is like, I don't know. I don't have it like, he's like a poor man's Jake Plummer.
He's like Jared Goff on a bad team.
Oh yeah. I mean, well, except his weapons are even better than Goff. Like CMC, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, like those guys are all better than the Rams players, I think.
God, that's actually true.
I don't know.
When McCaffrey, they were 10-point home favorites against Washington and got it pushed in. I mean, this was a really bad scene for them.
Yeah, McCaffrey had like a 50% completion percentage on this. He had 13 targets and only came up with 7 of them, which is just, I don't know how you don't complete those targets to CMC. It was tilting.
Yeah, this is,
I mean, in the third quarter, they didn't get a first down in the third quarter.
I mean, he should have smashed. You get 13 targets. Like, how did he only get 17 DraftKings points?
Leonard Fournette will teach him about catch rate, buddy.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So boy. I played the running backs that I played were Christian McCaffrey, Miles Sanders, and Leonard Fournette. I thought that McCaffrey and Sanders were stone cold locks. The things that I debated doing in flex were, I actually did look at the double tight end lineup with, I looked at it with Dallas Goedert when I thought that Ertz wasn't going to play, and I actually probably would have played that lineup had Ertz been inactive. I would have played Dallas Goedert in the flex, and I would have played probably Devontae Adams over Alshon Jeffrey, or done that and then got off of Auden Tate, who I also played. But ended up going with Leonard Fournette. Our projections really liked him, like obviously much more than I like Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette, one of my least favorite players in the NFL. Nate, why don't you tell the people the play that you made at running back?
I played Fournette.
Because you're good.
As well, which was fine. So I went CMC, Fournette, and then Lindsey. I went Lindsey over Sanders, which was the mistake.
Oh,
why don't you just break the logic down in that decision? I wish that you could post your dumbass little graph of like comparing all of their stats right now. I wish that the people could be seeing this.
Well, I mean, it was just mentally weak,
bro.
That graph is very mentally weak.
I had Sanders and Lindsey for similar workload projections overall, but I thought that Sanders in a game that Philly should have gotten up a ton wasn't going to get the passing work in the second half that he needed to push him past. And I just didn't see, like, if Philly gets up 2 scores here, I didn't see them running the ball.
You thought they were going to turn to Jay Ajayi?
Hey, you're not going to pound the ball with Miles Sanders 20 times when you're up with the lead, but the Dolphins kept it close and they needed.
I mean, what did you think? You thought Philadelphia was good? You thought they were just going to, like, it would be the second game all year where they put anyone away. Literally, they have put one team away, and it was because of defensive special teams touchdown. It was the New York Jets, and that's it.
I mean, literally, the line closed at 10.5 spread, which was the second highest spread on the week. Like,
I bet the Dolphins, because it was a bad line.
I don't believe in bad lines in the NFL betting market.
No, there's no such thing as a bad line, but they're
– So that's the thing. If you think it's going to be a 10.5 point spread, which was as second highest spread on the week, like I didn't think going into the second half.
Yeah, but running back, like Lindsey was just an egregious play, dude. Like, Tara bad. Over Sanders, dude. Sanders was like just the nuts, Nate. This was horrible.
Was bad, yeah.
You were dead on the first drive.
Sanders was playing 80% of the snaps, and he was getting like a buttload of targets.
He pressed the narrative. He pressed the narrative button in his model where Jay Ajayi was getting all the second half revenge carries for the Dolphins trading him.
Revenge carries, yeah. You got to have that.
Sanders had not seen over 10% of the targets yet.
But he bet on the field. He just, like, you got to give some credence to the fact that the dude was just on the field. He played 85% of the snaps. That's more than anyone. That's like basically more than everyone but McCaffrey and Zeke.
You are totally overplaying Sanders' workload over the past couple weeks.
No, because I'm not gonna look at a 2-game sample size and say that's how they're gonna call their plays going forward. I'm gonna look at a 2-game sample size and say this dude was on the field because they don't trust Boston Scott and Jay Ajayi is trash, and say that like that dude
in week 12 he had 12 carries, 50% of the rushing attempt share, and 5 targets for 11% of the team targets. And then
I thought you just said he didn't have more than 10%.
Well, I mean, it was like 10 to 12%. It's
and Nate, then do you understand like a 2-game NFL sample size is like it's like 1/4 of an NBA game in terms of interactions?
When it comes to workload, though, that's what we have to project off of a lot of times. It's only a
What were you projecting Jay Ajayi for? He was in optimals. He was in optimals for us at an 8% target share for the Eagles offense.
I had Miles Sanders at a 50% share of the running attempts and a 10.4% share of the target share.
Well, you should have been playing Jay Ajayi if you had him for 50% of the rushing attempts. Like, I'm not even kidding you.
Lindsay end up doing?
What
did Lindsay end up doing?
He got like 8 points. He was horrible.
I mean, Lindsay ended up getting, what did Lindsay get?
20 touches. I'm pulling it up now. Yeah, 17 rushes, 58 yards.
Lindsay got the workload. I don't feel dumb about the workload at all. Lindsay got, he had 17 rushing attempts and 3 targets. Like, I don't feel
something you didn't probably take into account is that Derwin James was back for the Chargers.
What about the fact that the Broncos had a team total of like 16 and the Dolphins was like 29? I don't know. Does that factor into your math at all, or just is that are you just not waving team totals?
No, team totals are definitely part of it. But at the same time, when Philadelphia gets into the red zone on the 5-yard line, they're not handing the ball to Miles Sanders and having him pounded into the end zone. Like,
they're throwing him the ball, bro.
Yeah, he didn't score a rushing touchdown. Carson Wentz has now attempted, I think, roughly 16 throws to Miles Sanders in the flat, and that was his first completion of the season. I think it was like a 15-yard touchdown.
Yeah, Miles Sanders dunked on Lindsay.
Yeah. Okay, but the dunking is not done.
Nope.
Sammy, you, buddy. I'm not letting you get away with this one.
You shouldn't. I actually need some legitimate opinion. Sammy, so the first
dude,
I played
not even this. Sam, okay, you go, Sammy. Then I'll go.
Please. So I played McCaffrey and Sanders because I'm not a fish. But the first guy I locked into all my cash game lineups and like all my tournament lineups was Jonathan Williams. I thought
the first guy in.
You know, I mean, he had 29. If you watch the game against Houston, like, he was just the guy. He got 29 touches. They were just, like, feeding him the rock. Like, I was like, 5,300 at home. This is a stone lock. Like, he's going to get at least, like, 18, 20 touches here. And I'm looking at the statistics now. He had 25 yards and 1 reception. That's not very good. Why am I a fish? Why was this not the thing? Nobody played him.
Because I looked at it and I ranked him very high in seasonal, and I'm not even going to throw you under the bus. I also played him in not a ton of GPP, because the stance I made was I played Daryl Williams, like a ball load. I think I'm like 55% of my MME teams. I played Daryl Williams, so that got me off of Jonathan Williams.
You must have been feeling good after that touchdown.
Yeah, you. I felt yeah. Very good, and then he died. So that was pretty unfortunate.
I thought he got hurt.
He literally got 8 rushing attempts and 1 target, while Jordan Wilkins got 11 and 3.
So he might have gotten hurt. I don't know, but he for sure either he got hurt or he got benched, because after the first quarter he was not in.
I watched a minute of that game.
So. All I do know is on Friday Davis Maddock texted me, "Hey bro, check this out. I'm having a DM conversation with the Colts beat reporter."
Anytime Davis says he has inside info, that's an immediate aware, like, fade that situation.
I mean, this same guy
is always wrong on these
things.
Was
that screenshot Dr. Davis, or was that real?
So that guy also told me that Williams was going to get all the work last week on Thursday. So
I got news from my guy in Dallas. Cole Beasley's going to get all the targets.
I mean, this is not even inside info. This is just DMing a beat writer, which any of you could do, but they probably don't respond to you because you have a peasant number amount of followers.
I'm glad you get your edge is getting Jonathan Williams takes from beat writers in his 8 dart.
Well, right now we're 50-50. He got one right, and I Sammy, I would assume he got hurt. Like I'm gonna assume that something comes out on Wednesday where they say, oh, you know, he rolled over on his ankle or whatever, because he was out of the game after the first quarter, and it was just all they gave Nyheim Hines a goal line rushing touchdown.
Oh, instead, I saw that. I'm like in the car and I'm like promising not to look at scores. But at one point, like, my wife kind of falls asleep, and I'm like, well, I'll just check one little score. Oh, the Colts scored. What's going on? Nyheim Hines, 1 yard touchdown. And I, like, threw the phone down on the floor, and I didn't look again. That was the last
one. So I got off of Williams because it's cash games, bro. And you got to play for the floor. And Tuttle, like, so the first dissenting opinion was Tuttle being like, dude, you can't play this guy on the Swolecast. And then we moved his market share of rushing up to 64%. Like, that's high, dude. That is if you're including like quarterback rushes and Nyheim, like, that is a big chunk of their work. And he still was not hitting optimals. So I was like, okay, I can't in good conscience play this guy in cash games. So where did the supreme confidence come from?
You know what, bro? I'm taking 29 touches the week before. I watched the game. I watched the film.
He watched the games, bro.
Jonathan Williams. Dude, I'm a fish. I guess I'm
Nate,
just a fish.
Nate, like, you, this is your – before we talk about wide receivers and you get dunked on, this is your chance to call Sammy mentally weak?
Well, I'm just saying, to rip on me for playing Philip Lindsay to get 20 touches and who's gotten that significant workload the entire season.
Yeah, but you didn't play Miles Sanders, which is way worse than playing – that's way worse than playing Jonathan Williams
playing
in flex.
5K running – one, we knew one of these 5K running backs. It was between Williams, it was between Lindsay, and it was between Sanders. One of them was going to be a good play. One, couple of them were going to be bad plays. To take two of them, though, I don't know. I wanted to fade the entire. I wish I would have played four wide receivers.
Sanders was just
I wish I just played CMC and Fournette and faded the entire 5K range.
You don't learn. You never learn, Nate.
There's a 5K running back who, like, gets a bunch of targets and is on a team with a 30-point team total, and Nate's like
– And Nate's out. Like, dude, I wish I doubled up on Christian Kirk with Sammy Watkins.
Nate has such big regrets. We've, like, shamed him out of the four wide receiver
No, that would be – that would be mentally weak, dude.
The only teams that made money for me yesterday were my – Doyle Higbee teams, my two tight end flex teams. My
that was the sharp team,
PPP
bro.
Winning teams.
That was super sharp.
All right, so moving to wide receiver, we have more differences here. I played Alshon Jeffrey, Auden Tate, and Robert Woods. I think I shared zero of those players with you guys. I don't think you guys played any of them.
I had Tate.
I had Sammy. Tate, Shepherd, you played. Kirk. Sammy, you played the sharp wide receiver grouping. Yeah. Sammy, what you did, I think, was good.
Yeah, I played Devontae, Jeffrey, and Sterling Shepard, and they all scored touchdowns like within the first 10 minutes. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, it's lit. Like once.
No, oh, not Alshon. I was tilting my face off when Sterling Shepard scored because that was a 1v1 for me. Alshon versus, because I had $300 left in my lineup with Sterling in it, and I moved to Alshon. So for the first quarter, I was really tilting that, and then for the remaining quarters, I was like, oh, it's fine.
That's right. It was Devontae and Shepard that both scored super early, and they ended up smashing, and that's what like kind of ended up carrying my team. Just having your receiver to score touchdowns, generally a good thing. And I wasn't that pumped on Adams and Shepard. Like, obviously there was a bunch of weather there, and I was considering D.D. Westbrook, who I think did,
and Mike Evans,
instead. But obviously I went Devontae and Shepard because
you would have been tilting that pretty good because Evans had 11 targets but did nothing.
Yeah, yeah, because Jameis, you know, not that optimal. So, so I'm glad I went the way I did. Like, four touchdowns out of your three receivers is pretty sweet.
Yeah, Alshon Jeffrey at 5.1 leading the league. He had the biggest volume of any wide receiver any week this season. He had 267 air yards and 16 targets. I mean, he just.
Well, actually, do you want to know who had more volume?
Nobody.
Robert Woods had 19 targets, buddy.
Bob, Jameis, how does it feel to play Bob Woods in cash games?
And well, have him do you want to know what's sick? What's sick is that my other 1v1 was Devontae Parker versus Robert Woods. And I
have gotten wrong there.
Well, I was tilting it for the whole first game. I was like, dude, I would have just been walking into cash. I would have been steamrolling everyone. And now I'm going to have to beg for Robert Woods to get 15. And he had 15 at the end of the first quarter. And it was that was pretty nice. So, Nate, do you want to revise your opinion of the weighted opportunity ranking for the Rams wide receivers and maybe say that Cooper Kupp is not Michael Thomas now?
Nope. I told you.
Woodsley is allergic to L's.
No L taking will be had on this show. By no. You said that Cooper Kupp was Michael Thomas, dude.
I never said that he was legitimately Michael. I've been playing 9.5 for Michael Thomas every week of the season. I would never play. I've played Cooper Kupp zero times in cash games this year. But I still think Cooper Kupp is going to be the low A dot, high catch rate guy in that offense.
How are you going to feel at the end of the season when Bob Woods leads the Los Angeles Rams in Whopper? Well, how is that going to change how you feel? And by the way, he's done all of this with zero touchdowns. So if just a little bit of that friendly regression hits him.
No, well, I mean,
What was the DR slack like when Bob Wood started going off? Were they just like roasting Nate?
Yeah. Me and Dink were roasting Nate pretty hard, but also our projections were like like very close 1v1s away from like literally the best lineup. So, there was like a little bit of saltiness as well, but Dink and I were just as every Robert Woods target, we were just like, this is going to be the best podcast ever.
There was a million 5K wide receivers that were good plays.
There were four actually that were good plays, and not including Alshon. They were Christian Kirk, they were Sammy Watkins, they were Robert Woods and Devontae Parker, and two of them scored less than 4 points, and two of them scored over 30 points.
Yeah, I the Christian Kirk thing was tilting because, I don't know, the Alshon thing just kills me when I fade. Like, I was looking at Alshon.
Wait, you didn't play Alshon Jeffrey?
No, I played Shepard.
Oh, my God.
Shepard, Kirk, and Tate.
Nate, your team was bad.
If I played Alshon, I would have killed
disaster. This was a mentally weak team. You played Philip Lindsay and Auden Tate, but you were just like, if I could find two guys who are locked into, like, 8 DK points, I found them.
Yeah, I played Shepard and Kirk.
Bro, that team, Jesus. This is great because I literally didn't know who you played.
He didn't join our three man.
Nate refuses to.
Oh, I said the three man. You didn't join the three man.
Yeah, Nate literally puts us on mute like an hour before lock, and this is what happens. He goes and plays Christian Kirk and Auden Tate and Philip Lindsay all in the same lineup.
That is okay. Completely off the rails.
Christian Kirk was not a bad.
Okay, so here's the thing. He wasn't bad.
Every site you looked at would have had him projected for more than there's no way. I mean,
Jalen Ramsey.
Christian Kirk was in a great spot. The highest – like the highest projected plays on the slate. He was clearly leading Arizona from any metric you look at. I don't feel bad about Christian Kirk.
Okay, can I get my hand in the dirt and make one take here?
Oh my, if you quote some defense, like
I'm not quoting any defense versus position stuff. I'm going to say in your calculus, do you even think about the fact that Jalen Ramsey was going to be shadowing him?
I consider Jalen Ramsey in that. I consider the defense as a whole. I don't individual position.
I will say I had Christian Kirk in, and my good friend Andrew Wiggins from Establish the Run was just like, dude, like literally Jalen Ramsey is going to be all over him. You can't play him. And I was like, you know what? I thought that Woods versus Parker versus Watkins was close enough. And I liked having the flexibility to choose between those three guys. We were not actually with Parker.
We were actually robbed. The listeners were robbed of you playing Sammy Watkins in cash yet again.
I almost swapped.
You texted and asked, who's going to get more points, Woods or Watkins? And I legit said Woods. And then
I thought maybe I was behind because and then Alshon got the bonus and it was fine, but I was kind of wavering on the edge of thinking I was behind.
We could have had another Davis Maddock epic swap and another Davis Maddock Sammy Watkins in cash.
Here's the thing, if I would have swapped off of Bob Woods to Sammy Watkins and gotten 0 points, it would have been the last, I would not have done the show. You guys would have had to have done this without me. I was not going to be there for that. That's such a shame.
Damn. Yeah. I'm sorry, listeners.
Well, and here's the thing. I probably would have done it, but on Saturday in college football, I made a 1v1 swap thinking I was behind where the guy I swapped off of, Najee Harris for Bama, I think he got like 35. I swapped to a Bama wide receiver who got like 9. And I'm not going to swap unless I am complete, like 100% dead or for injury reasons. And so maybe that saved me some chip on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, most people underutilize late swap. Davis overutilizes it. Like, you should get out of the house on Sunday. Never swap.
I should. Yeah. So that was that. Those were the wide receivers. The two tight end team was good. I don't know if I could have ever brought myself to play it in cash.
Two tight ends in cash just feels terrible because every time I look at like any sort of generalistic position stuff, tight ends just have the lowest ceiling of any position, you know? So jamming two of those guys in cash would feel bad, but maybe on this week it would have been sure.
So what would we have done if Zach Ertz was out? Because I don't think that I could have not played Dallas.
I would have played Lamar, the CMC, Miles Sanders, but I would not have played Alshon. I think I would have played Mike Evans and Davante Adams at wide receiver.
If Ertz was out, you wouldn't have played. If Ertz was out, I think.
Because I wouldn't have wanted. Play. I would not have wanted three Eagles without the quarterback.
Yeah, I wouldn't have played three Eagles. I probably wouldn't have played Alshon either.
But Alshon was right there with these other guys. If you bumped his target share up a couple percentage, like he would have become the, I guarantee you, all optimals across the.
I'll tell you right now. Even without looking, I know what the Daily Roto optimal would have been. It would have been Carson Wentz. It would have been CMC, Miles Sanders, Davante Adams, expensive wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey, Tyler Higbee, Dallas Goedert, and Browns defense.
Browns D, yeah. You would have had to make a mental swap because you felt uncomfortable with that many.
Not a mentally weak swap is what we call it here.
You would have had to swap off of the nuts. But Alshon would have been a must play if Ertz was out.
Yeah. So that's that.
End up doing? Did he get?
I think he did literally nothing.
Who?
Did he get targeted?
He dropped a touchdown, Zach Ertz.
Oh.
I'm just shocked at how much volume Alshon got. I mean, that was
that was kind of running hot, honestly. Like, we ran hot with Alshon.
What do you mean, kind of? He literally had more air yards than any other receiver of any week this season. 206, he beat Mike Evans. He beat anybody. I mean, it's insane.
I'll be honest, and I know that Cardi listens to this pod, so shout out Derek Cardi. He was the one who kind of got me onto Alshon with a little Twitter rant. I was not like that. I was considering him, but he wasn't like a big part of my player pool until Cardi kind of like told me you need to play him, and I did.
Cardi and I played the same team first time this year.
Cardi won. You didn't have the same team. Cardi had Chiefs D, didn't he?
No, Cardi played the Browns D and cash.
I saw Cardi in like the spy or whatever at like fifth or sixth or something, and he had Chiefs D.
I mean, maybe he 1v1 some, like in, maybe in he does
entries,
that. Yeah, I don't know, but maybe he did play. Maybe he did play the Chiefs D. I don't know.
He plays Blitz Optimal 2 in GVPs.
Maybe.
I guess when I was talking with him, I didn't talk to him about defense, but yeah, we ended up on, I feel very blessed to have not played Sammy Watkins. I can't even tell you guys.
Dude, I mean, you guys have to realize
the show is missing out.
Yeah. Davis was texting us like Thursday and Friday, like, yeah, I think I'm playing Sammy Watkins, big target share, like big team total, you know. And God, that would have been great.
Do you know how much Sammy Watkins costs next week with the Kansas City Chiefs on the road against the New England Patriots with Stephon Gilmore covering Tyreek Hill?
$3,300.
$4,500, dude.
Don't do it, Davis. Actually, do it. We need some fun on the show. Because here's the thing. Nate lost, and that's always fun for the listeners, but I think the listeners like it the most when you lose. So
yeah. I don't even – there's no debate about it. They like when I lose because, unlike Nate, not only do I take an L, but I'm, like, funny while I do it. When Nate's taking an L, he's like, I never said that Cooper Kupp was like Michael Thomas. And, like, it's just like he won't eat the L.
I projected Lindsey for 9% of targets, bro. 9%. You have to understand. 63%.
That is actually the classic Nate line. Is the you don't understand? you don't understand.
I did not expect Miles Sanders to get 90% of the rushing attempt share. I don't think anybody did.
I mean, we didn't expect him to get 90%, but we expected him to get most of it.
I thought you told me DRs had him under 50% rushing attempt share before lock.
Here, I will tell. I will look right now. I will even go. I bet if I look from Thursday to Monday, so every running back that played, I bet that he is one of the 10 highest projected scorers at the running back position.
What was his rushing attempt share?
I'm pulling it up right now.
Nate, he was 60% owned, bro.
I know.
60%.
Yeah. Miles Sanders, we had projected for a 47% rushing share and a 9.8% target share, projected him for 14.99 DraftKings points.
And what did you have Lindsey projected for?
Let me scroll down, scrolling down further. We had him projected for 56.2% market share of the rushing attempts, 9% of the targets, 12.86 DraftKings points.
So more rushing attempt share, more target share.
Yeah, but fewer points.
So a big
because of scoring efficiency and everything else like that. Which,
hey, you want points. Points are good.
So a big part of our projection system, like a very big part of it, is baked into Vegas stuff. Like it's very relative to not only team total, but also like historic simulations of like what happens in games with that total, with that spread, so on and so forth. So being like a road dog with a rookie quarterback making his first NFL start against a good NFL team, it was like kind of a tough situation to be playing. What's his dick in?
Pretty sure they were at home though.
No, were they at home? I don't know.
Yeah.
Cortland Sutton's just too much of an alpha to play Philip Lindsay though.
Yeah, Cortland Sutton. Luckily, had him in some GPP that saved me a little bit. Seriously, there was like no way you could have gone wrong with those 5K wide receivers. I mean, Sutton.
Buddy, there is a way you could have gone wrong. And you could have played Christian Kirk and Sammy Watkins.
Well, I didn't play Sammy Watkins, but Kirk was dust. Oh my gosh, that was tilting.
Will you ever play Christian Kirk again? Or is this whopper too low now?
I have gotten him wrong. I played Christian Kirk probably 7 times in cash games this year. The one week I didn't, he put up 45 points. And then this week he puts up 3 to whop to every other receiver's 30.
Jalen Ramsey, bro.
Matchup.
I don't even know what happened. I was so tilted.
Did we all play Tyler Higbee?
Yeah.
I mean, literally not even worth discussing. That was the true first guy in.
He was only 55% owned.
Yeah, that's actually
the only reason I got even somewhat close to. I bubbled a bunch of, like, the $5 single entry. I made it because 50% of people faded him.
That's wild.
I guess people played Doyle. Like, Doyle was pretty chalky.
Doyle was the best play until Gerald Everett.
Yeah, Doyle
44% owned in the single five entry, the giant $5 double.
DFS isn't dead, Nate. There's a little. We got a little bit left.
Should I feel fish for Sterling Shepard? Why? I mean, he put up 13, but I mean, he got smashed by every other play at that.
He got lucked out by that touchdown.
Yeah,
ran good.
Was Shepard a bad play?
I don't think you should feel bad for anything. Like, if you played Sterling Shepard, if you didn't play Sterling Shepard, I think either way, it's fine. I thought he was, like, a good play. I didn't think that he was some home run. I mean, he's still attached to Daniel Jones. And, I mean, theoretically, someday Saquon Barkley is going to score fantasy points again, right? Like, maybe?
Unlikely. He's dust after 1 year.
I play a lot of lineups on Sundays, and I didn't play Saquon Barkley in one. Like, 0%. I just was not playing that guy. He's horrible, dude. Because, like, what he does is he just tries to hit the home run every play. Like, it's crazy. You watch a Giants game, and it's just him dancing in the backfield every play. He's got fancy foot syndrome.
I heard news that he was going to be chalky. Did that end up happening, or was that like a FanDuel thing? Because I knew he was cheap on FanDuel.
So people did play him over Leonard Fournette and stuff on FanDuel. Yeah.
Guys, what are we going to do about this Leonard Fournette thing? He's terrible. Why do we keep playing him?
Allergic.
Dude,
he literally, something about him that doesn't, like, he can't function.
Can I tell you what it is about him? He's too fat and slow, dude. He cannot, so, like, he can't get the momentum from the one zone. From
he
the one
he just gets the ball and stops.
Like, you spend
no force.
You spend all the whole Jaguars game. You wait. You're like, oh, get to the 1 yard line, please, because that's the only way he can score. And then they do, and he loses sucks 3 yards.
He loses 3 yards. I literally was like, oh gosh, Minshew's in the game second half. We're finally gonna get it. And then we literally got it. We literally got a
1 yard line, dude.
And it was, he lost 2 yards on it. I almost threw my computer. I was.
Well, here's the thing. The Jags coaches are huge donkeys because they don't do the spread it out at the goal line and then hand it to Fournette. They do jumbo package, bring in the three tight ends, bring in the defensive tackle to play fullback and just try and run through.
They surround the fat guy with a bunch of fat guys and try to just fat it into the end zone.
He hits the hole absolutely no force. It is
You literally just have
to hope that the defense, like, falls down. Like, he can't jump. It's not like he's hopping over the
Oh, dude.
Bro, he had 11 targets, and what did he get, 17 points?
11 dude, targets and 18 points.
He and by the way, these were, like, the most giving – like, he got a 4th-and-22 reception. Like
– 9 receptions and 18 –
He really, what it was, is it was a very Dallas Goedert-esque performance in the sense of, like, he catches the target and then just falls down.
This is Goddard-esque. So, I mean, how many people, what was he owned? Because I know he made it into a lot of popular.
Single digits, dude. No one had, like, it's, people are too mentally weak to click on Leonard Fournette.
What are we for playing him?
Dude, I mean, he had the worst, like, his team lost by 20 the whole game. His quarterback had 4 turnovers in the first half, got benched, and he only lost to Devontae by what, 7 points, Sammy? Roughly? How many did Devontae get?
But did Devontae Adams?
Yeah.
Yeah, Adams had 24.4.
Yeah, so he lost to Devontae Adams, who scored twice by 6 points.
Yeah, you guys should have played Devontae. I just thought Devontae was easily the best wide receiver play of the entire.
I would have for sure played the Devontae Adams lineup and played a 5K running back. I probably would have played LeSean McCoy.
Did you guys go mentally weak because of weather?
Yeah, that's where I was just getting to. Is without the weather, I would have just locked. I just would have played Adam straight up.
I decided to be mentally strong and just, like, forget about it. I mean, because the
Sam,
reality
your version of mentally strong is getting hungover and not opening up your laptop, like, just ignoring whatever happens Sunday morning.
That's strength, bro.
I mean, that's mentally strong as it gets.
Yeah, dude, there wasn't wind. I mean, that was the thing. There was wind. I saw like pretty heavy wind in the Tampa Jacksonville game, and it wasn't nearly as bad, even though it was snowing in New York. And I was just like, well, you know, screw it. Like, you know how I like the snow games, Nate? Snow games are lit. I smash on snow games. I knew this would happen, and Devontae and Sterling scored right away, and it was like, oh, I'm winning money. It's happening.
So I want to talk about some of these prices that we have for next week, because
can I just tilt the showdown slate? James White, James White literally put up the ceiling game of his life.
Dude, he had like, I think, 38 DraftKings points.
After you guys played him in cash, he had 1 yard.
he did everything. He had the 14 targets. He had the 10-plus rushing attempts. It was the
game. If I can tilt a little more, Leone had me convinced to lock James White in showdown, like lock him, play him in 100% of like 450 teams, and I like chickened out at the last second and played him like 48%.
14 rushing attempts and 11 targets. 11 targets with 2 touchdowns. He literally didn't even get the bonus. He only had 98 yards receiving.
That was what Jonathan Williams was supposed to do, you guys.
Yeah. So next week, Nate, don't have Miles Sanders on the slate. How does that make you feel?
God.
Vance McDonald. How owned is Vance McDonald at 4,300 against the Arizona Cardinals going to be?
Depends how many tweets Smiz puts out there.
With old Duck Hodges at the helm.
Duck Hodges is a straight G, bro. Like,
yeah, he had some nice passes. Jameis is 6,400 at home to the Indianapolis Colts, so Nate's probably just clicking that button right there.
No, I'm also clicking that button.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he's.
I will probably just play Mahomes, I think.
How about Drew Brees at home for 5.9?
You're going to play Mahomes on the road at New England?
Yeah, it looked really intimidating for the Houston Texans last night.
What if New England isn't good?
What if all of the available data suggests their offense is horrible and their defense is above average, and that's all that we got?
You know what? This happens every year, though. Like, New England's like, oh, they're false. All they do is beat up on, you know, Buffalo and the Jets, blah 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 blah, and then they just luck box through the playoffs, and things happen.
Well, they're gonna get a first round bye, and they're gonna have to beat Baltimore. And if they beat Baltimore, they'll make the Super Bowl. And if they lose to Baltimore, they won't.
I don't think any – do you think that Bill Belichick was sandbagging in that first matchup and that he's got, like, some sauce?
No. That he does not do that.
Dude, Alvin Kamara's down at 7K.
Well, it's because they play San Francisco.
It's at home.
I mean, Michael Thomas is 8,300.
Easy New Orleans stack.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
That's we have a huge Kamara's price hike for Devontae Adams, though. He's up to 8K. My boy, DJ Moore, $7,000 at Atlanta.
Dude, literally the Alvin Kamara MT has to be like that's where you start your lineup.
Well, you know who we're gonna be playing in cash next week, right? Do you know? No. Bro. Patrick freaking Laird is going to be the starting running back for the Miami Dolphins, and he's 4,100. He's like, I'm not even kidding you. He's like the play.
Oh, tis the season.
It's the season. He is 4,100 against the New York Jets. He had 5 targets in this game, scored 16 DraftKings points.
Oh, he scored a touchdown.
And got the 2-point conversion right after.
No way. Oh, dude, what was Overzet's Twitter like?
It was great. We are DMing him like today to get him on the Tatecast.
Oh man, we should have had him on this show.
I only played him in like 2% of my lineups. I was fraudulent.
Yeah, call me a disingenuous tout now, says Overzet. What a king.
We're probably gonna play one of the Chiefs running backs.
Darwin.
With Williams being out.
It depends on if Damian comes. Like, if Damian is healthy, I will just jam Damian in.
This is really good for your 4-10 zero RB teams, Davis, that Darwin Thompson is here.
No, it's much more like it's actually a killer that Damian was hurt in week 13 because this was the first week of the playoffs for the best ball championship. And I got 18 teams through, and I would imagine that Damian was on at least half of those.
Yeah.
Tough scenes.
Tough scene.
I don't know. Next week seems like I don't see. I don't know. Is there? We might get a mega punt tight end. We might get Ian Thomas for Carolina against Atlanta with Greg Olsen out.
Oh yeah, I'm in. I'm just, dude, those punt tight ends, baby. Like, this is the only reason I'm making money this year.
They've been good. Caden Smith, bro. What a legend.
Caden. Yeah, I didn't even get to talk about Thanksgiving when I smashed all the money with who was it? Caden? Is that the
Jaden,
one?
Jaden Graham.
Jaden. I don't even know who these guys are, but they just
Jesper Horsted catching a touchdown might have been like the pinnacle of my touting career. That was pretty good.
I saw the tweets. I seen them.
Yeah. How'd your Thanksgiving go, Nate? Oh, they are, dude, I think they have got to have the worst goal line offense in NFL history.
My Thanksgiving was all right. I mean, I had a couple teams without MT, but MT sunk a couple of my
I, of course, just made a rule across every lineup I made, to min one Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas. So I was completely grouped out from the nuts. He loved that. You don't love it that much.
Did not go. I mean, I hate Taysom Hill so much. When Taysom Hill.
I mean, if you hate Nate, if you want to look,
we did not do a Thursday night Gilcast because I would have been tilting hard Taysom Hill.
I mean, if we're really thinking about it though, playing against San Francisco is actually probably good for Kamara and for Michael Thomas because
they're going to be used.
They're not going to be able to get away with using Taysom Hill against the 49ers.
You can't dick around with Taysom Hill here in the red zone when you have.
Why haven't teams figured out that when Taysom Hill comes in, he's getting the ball like 98% of the time? He's always getting the ball. Like, it's such a bust, and yet
I like hate watching him play. I think the way he plays is so stupid. His existence.
Every time he gets on the field, I get upset. Like, just even block, I was tilting. Like,
and like the thing is like stupid boomers who watch football just love this guy. They're like, oh my, it's really so tilting. Like everyone Sammy's age loves him.
I consider this a personal attack wife. Because I love it. I love it.
Yeah, because you're a freaking boomer, dude.
My wife like, tried to watch that.
He can do everything. He can rush. He can throw. He can catch.
Oh!
He
can
tackle. He blocks punts. This guy's
playing.
The most tilting thing about the whole thing was my wife's watching the game with me, and she goes, as he blocks the punt and then returns it, she goes, did you play that guy? He seems good. I'm tilting my face off about this guy, and did you play that guy? He seems good.
you should have played him, Nate.
That is.
Do people play Taysom Hill won like six figures?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean all you had to do was captain Taysom Hill and you were just printing.
That's solid.
I'm sure Siege made money, you know.
No, Big T. Big T is the boyo with Taysom. He loves Taysom Hill.
Hashtag giblets.
Giblet season. So I don't know. Do we think that what are we thinking on this New England Kansas City game? Because I bet this total is gonna be super high, like probably one of the highest of the week.
Smash Kansas City, bring it back with Edelman, print.
Yeah, what does Edelman cost? We're gonna need a min play in this slate. Like, we're gonna need like a $2,500 tight end or a $3,000 wide receiver or a $4,000 running back to make stuff work in this slate.
How much is James White?
Oh, 5. No, he's yeah. Well, no one plan. I will say this, though. Very, very high chance of me playing the Bengals defense $2,100 against the Cleveland Browns. They are a joke, dude. This division broke so perfectly for them to make the playoffs. They have a team that's going to win like two games all year. They have the Steelers down to their third-string quarterback, and they've gotten games against like the Dolphins and stuff, and they're going to miss the playoffs. Like, how insane is that?
Bro, I was so mad when you sent the picks that we're using in our pentathlon and you took Cleveland. I'm like, no way that works. Cleveland had 0% chance of winning this game.
I mean, you're like, if you think your team is going to do one thing or the other, you can swap it. I don't care that much,
bro.
It was a 1-point spread. Baker versus Duck Hodges, bro.
First off, Duck Hodges is good. Second, it was the helmet smash revenge game narrative. You knew Pittsburgh was going to come out and pimp Cleveland up. Of course.
We're all going to be playing this Tampa Bay-Indianapolis game. It's going to have the highest total in the week.
Will it?
I bet it will.
Here's the thing. We're probably going to get a minimum wide receiver in that game.
Yeah.
Whether it's Marcus Johnson, Paris Campbell, or Ashton Doolittle. Chester Rogers is on the IR. He fractured his leg. Devin Funchess is on the IR. Paris Campbell is out. So we might be in a situation where we are playing Marcus Johnson.
Here's the spoiler alert for next week's Gilcast. I'm going to play one of Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, and I will be 100% wrong.
I don't think you will, actually. I think that's probably pretty unlikely.
I bet I will.
You'd be fading CMC then.
Dude, it's going to be a massive total.
Are you going to fade CMC then?
I don't know.
Yeah, CMC's discounted down to 10.3.
I will probably be playing CMC.
Godwin's down at 7.3.
You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to play Dalvin Cook and say, oh, you know, he's such a better value than CMC. I just had to play him.
Godwin and Evans are both 7.2 and 7.3, so I'm playing one of them.
I don't see how you make it work.
Sammy's going to play Dalvin.
I mean, Sammy's
going to do? He's going to play Henry. It's...
Oh my gosh! If Sammy played, Sammy gonna play, dude. Derrick Henry is 8,200.
I can see it.
That's Derrick Henry.
Do a show on Mondays every week, and we build each other's lineup. So we build.
Nate, I think I was 2v2 away from building your team on Friday. I sent it in our group chat. I gotta go find it now.
You probably had Jameis in it, which.
I did. I had Jameis in it. I really want to go find it.
I want to build Saints lineup for next week.
Sammy, dude, he's gonna have Taysom Hill in it.
Sammy.
Oh no,
I'm in.
I messed up your team because I included Miles Sanders in it, so he was too good of a play.
Yeah, I can't do that.
To be in there,
too sharp for me.
Too sharp.
Couldn't. Get
there. Yeah, so everyone be very excited for Patrick Laird in your cash game lineups next week. Make sure to check out dailyroto.com, and we will be back next week with the Gilcast.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.